This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard, given on the 18th of October, 1954. The title of this lecture is Route 1, Step 14. This tape is 15 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
Now we will go into R114 of the Auditor's Handbook. R114, have pre-clear, create and destroy various kinds of Thetan machines. Here we have one of the four parts of the body. The body consists of, you might say, the GE and the reactive bank. That would be this electronic structure and the reactive bank. That's the body. And the Thetan is the awareness unit plus these machines. So here we have the Thetan, the awareness unit, that's one. His machines, two. The electronic structure, and therefore the flesh, and so forth. By the way, there aren't many anchor points in the body as there are corpuscles. Each one of these corpuscles has its own anchor points. You don't pay any attention to the blood and meat when you're looking over anchor points, really. And it has a reactive bank, the body does, just as described in Dynetics Modern Science Mental Help. All right, here's four parts of the body. These parts are demonstrably separate parts. Where we're dealing with the Thetan, and when we have exteriorized him, we are then dealing with the Thetan plus his machinery. And when we mean machinery, we say machinery. And when we say machinery, we mean machines. It's very curious that a Thetan in any period in time in mocking up machinery has followed the mode of the time in machinery. But it is strictly machinery. What do we mean by machines? Anytime he has desired some randomity, which is the ratio of predicted to unpredicted motion. Randomity is the degree of predicted to unpredicted motion. He has gotten an automaticity, which is, it runs without any attention from me. The devil it does. A machine never runs with no attention from the Thetan. Never. Never has, never will. But he gives it the attention by so many vias and the postulate that he doesn't know it's there, that it has the effect of running without his attention and without his energy. He feeds it energy by vias, and so there it exists, running. One of the main reasons he set up machinery in the first place was because he got bored with what he was doing. He got tired of doing some simple action over and over and over and over, so he set up a machine to do it. Of course, the second he set up a machine, it became automatic. And the moment it became automatic, it became plus randomity, didn't it? Because he no longer controlled it, and yet it affected him. So you're looking straight at the dwindling spiral when you're looking at this phenomena of machinery. The individual got disinterested in what he was doing, but he felt he had to go on doing it, so he set it up automatically. The second he set it up automatically, he stopped predicting it, didn't he? So therefore, his life became more random than before. And you find somebody originally on the track, didn't have any machines, and felt perfectly free and able, and you find him, after Lord knows how much living, having accumulated countless machines around him, all doing very, very interesting, intricate things to which he's paying no attention at all, and you get such a thing as the electronic structure of the body. That's being put there by the accumulated intelligences which make up the GE. And that's also aided and abetted by pictures made by picture-taking machines. The body has a picture-taking machine which makes pictures of all accidents and incidents and keeps a good pictorial record of the incidents of the body. And you have this thing called facsimiles and engrams. All right. The Thetan, however, has less machines than the body, but he's on his way. If he will just accumulate a few thousand more machines, why, he will do all kinds of interesting complexity, such as building bodies and so forth, without knowing he's building them. The only thing wrong with a machine is that it is obviously another determined action than one's own action. And whenever one lets this get into the works, after a while, life becomes totally random, unpredictable. And the anatomy of mystery starts out with the unprediction of something, goes into the necessity to control it, goes into the non-control of it, and winds up as a mystery. A mystery starts with unprediction, and setting up of a machine is then the start of a mystery. And so we have the body a huge mystery, because the collective intelligences which built it gradually lost all of its functions and set them up to run forever. So they became random as far as the intelligences running them were concerned. All right, Thetan exteriorized wants amusement for some reason or other. He sets up a machine. You're going to exteriorize Thetan, this kind of thing's going to happen. You say, be in the moon, be in the sun, be in earth. You say, just a minute. You say, what's the matter? I don't know, there's something wrong here. When I think of some place, I arrive there. That's funny. He says, I don't go there. I think of this place, and then, bing, I'm there. He said, only it's not the place that I thought of. You know, something wrong here. I think of the moon, I go to the sun. Well, in the first place, he's got a sending machine. He set up some kind of a machine to act as an exterior intelligence to himself, to send himself places. It's real cute. It'll cause an auditor more trouble if he doesn't know what it is. He'll be exteriorized, and he'll get absolutely haggard. He'll think of Paris, and he'll be in Paris. He'll think of South Africa, and he'll be in South Africa. And he'll think of North Pole, and he'll be at the North Pole. And this will just go on. He feels like the end of a crack the whip team. Well, this is the result of automaticity. He's made a machine that sends him places. Now, the way he makes this machine, he makes the consideration, puts some mass to it to give himself some conviction that it exists. Then he hides it and forgets about it. The consideration which made it, he hides it, he forgets about it. And that is the 1, 2, 3 step of making a machine. The consideration, what the machine is supposed to do, and then hiding it, and then forgetting that he has hidden it. Always with the fact that it is going to be operating upon him. Do you ever run into somebody who's afraid of invalidating himself? You know, all I do is invalidate myself. I say I'm getting along fine, then all of a sudden I say, well, I'm doing horribly. Invalidation is primarily an energy manifestation. It's being zapped in the thought line, and people get afraid of thinking, finally, because they're so afraid of being hit. He's actually set up a machine for himself, which zaps him under certain conditions. He goes out here someplace, and all of a sudden, zzzz. Well, if you're working over on machinery, regaining control of machinery, and something like this is happening, you find out he himself has set up the handiest little machine you ever saw. But when you get on just a certain angle of the machine, you get zapped. He zaps himself. That, of course, added interest into life. He never knew when he was going to be zapped, did he? Well, now that's how silly a Thetan will get with setting up these machines. And then having forgotten it and having hidden it, you as an auditor are expected to come along and by some necromancy, banish it. How do you banish a machine? You just mock one up, have him do the same thing. Anything the preclear is being affected by, have him do it. Now why? Anytime the preclear is on the E end of the cause distance effect line, you simply have him do the function, which puts him on the C end of the cause distance effect line. How simple. So you could take over all this machinery. You could have him do it. That is, you could actually have him perform the action himself this many times, and the machinery would disconnect, wear out, and go to pieces. It'd break up. Or you could have him copy machinery. Now you're having him do again the action of making machines, aren't you? So you just have him copy machines. This person's being sent in various places, and he's being sent all over the place. You could say to this individual, just this pattern, all right, mock up a machine that sends you all over places. Now mock up another machine that sends you all over the place. Mock up another machine. You do this 4 or 5 times, and all of a sudden this huge thing like a comptometer suddenly shows up over in that direction. And he says, what is that? And the more times he copies it, the brighter it gets, and then all of a sudden it starts to get smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and finally vanishes. Only all this time, all you were telling him was mock up a machine to send you places. Mock up another machine that'll send you places. Mock up another machine that'll send you places. See, he's just copy, 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 and it short circuits the big machine that's sitting out there, so much so that it runs out its own postulates of hiding and so forth. Now you could tell him, mock up a machine that'll send you places, now hide it, now forget about it. This would be a perfect way to do it. Mark up another machine which would send you places, now hide it, now forget about it. Mark up another machine which will send you places, now hide it, now forget about it. Another machine which will send you places, and all of a sudden he'll see this machine over there. You do it several ways. You could have him simply send himself places enough times and it'll start to key out this machinery. In other words, this is not a hard problem for the auditor to solve. Just make the pre-clear do whatever he's up against. Or make him make a mock-up to do whatever he's up against. Either way, and you'll have it. Make him make a mock-up, or make him do it. Make him make a mock-up to do it, or have him do it himself. But whichever one you choose, have him do that then many times. Now, I've had Thetans show up with machinery which they invented in the days of the early Roman Empire, which consisted of wooden wheels and cogs, little glass balls or pebbles which dropped into certain buckets and which made things weigh in other directions and so forth. Interesting, huh? I've processed a Thetan that had a machine which was a couple of boulders which were so teeter-tottered that they would fall over and hit him. That's an invalidation machine. In other words, this was a Stone Age creation. I've had him show up with an 1890 player piano as his musical machine. Also, I've had him show up with a former civilization, streamlined, handy, Jim Dandy device that is supposed to blow up cities, all streamlined with photoelectric cells and all compact and everything else. In other words, he made up this machine when he was in that environment. In all times and all places, wherever Thetan has been, whatever he has done, he has had a tendency to copy the environment in which he was working. So, when you start running out machinery, be prepared to find anything. And the rule to run out machinery is to have the pre-clear do what the pre-clear is doing. Have him do, in full knowingness that he is doing it, what he is doing obsessively and without knowledge that he is doing it. Make him recover the knowledge that he is doing it, and the manifestation will vanish. And that is how you get rid of machinery, and that's really all there is to machinery. But machinery can exist that will do anything you and I could think of here if we just sat here the rest of the day and did nothing but dream up objects and things machines could do to Thetans. One of the things that a Thetan has as a machine, just to give you an idea, they have an executing machine. Quite often, and sometimes bodies into which Thetans have moved into have executing machines, which are sometimes made up like guillotines, only they're electronic guillotines. And in a dental operation and in an operational shot, these things will sometimes trigger. What are they? They're an enormous ball of energy or an axe or something of the sort hanging above a person's head. And under a certain amount of stress, when the Thetan himself is in so much trouble that he can't knock off the body and escape, this machine is supposed to knock off the body and let him escape. Or it has been set up by the GE or some earlier Thetan and is still effective upon your pre-clear. And he's inside this body which has an execution machine. And he went under anesthetic and he did all right, and then all of a sudden there was this tremendous explosion and the whole front of his face went numb, and it's been numb ever since. He went into an execution machine, didn't he? How would you handle it? Have him mock up execution machines. That's all. Have him mock up the same machine over and over and over, making it tougher and tougher each time until all of a sudden he recognizes he can do it. At that time, the machine no longer has any effect upon him. A Thetan can only be affected by those things which he does not believe he himself can do anymore. When a person cannot do something, he can then be affected by somebody else doing it. Very strongly affected. Well, an execution machine, sometimes a fellow's had an operation, he's gone along for a week afterwards, and all of a sudden this execution machine is triggered. Post-operative shock is one of these machines going off. So this is a valuable thing to know about machinery. But you get somebody exteriorized and he's doing something peculiar, you merely have him do it, or have him mock up something that does it complete. And also, if you have him mock it up, have him hide it and forget it. And have him do it many times, and the whole machine disentangles. Do you destroy every machine which you find the Thetan in possession of? No, you certainly better not. Destroy only those which are totally out of his control, and then fix him up so after that he is capable of making machinery which really works. And the last step in it is have him mock up machines, hide them, and forget about them, which really work, that he's really hidden and really forgotten about. Have him make machinery and have him recover this ability.
This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 18th of October, 1954. The title of this lecture is Route 1, Step 15. This tape is 15 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
Okay. Here we have R115. R115 repair pre-clears ability to communicate by having him copy many scenes in the physical universe. Says this step is actually the same as step R15, but it is run on a wider basis. The Thetan is sent around to various parts of the world and the universe and asked to copy things. He copies each one many times till he is satisfied that his copy is exact in all respects with the original in the physical universe. When the Thetan has accomplished this, he will be able to make things with adequate density and mass. Now remember, an individual will only shy off from being the effect of something when he himself can no longer do it. Got this now. An individual who can climb a tent post and walk a tight wire 75 feet from the ground without any net is not impressed by somebody who can climb a tent post and walk a tight wire 75 feet above the ground. He will sit there and possibly admire slightly, mildly, the man's technique in doing so, or something of the sort. It's a mild affair, you see. But he is not a heavy effect of it. Now, the fellow who can't do this sits there in the circus seat saying, oh, my, oh, he almost slipped. Yes, gee, I can't even see the wires that tall. And the fellow teeters a little bit, and you'll hear the whole audience go, wonderful to behold, isn't it? They can't do it. So the only thing wrong with cause, distance, effect is the person who is convinced he can no longer do the thing. If he can no longer do it, boy, can he be the effect of it. You want to know what you can be the effect of it? Then just check over the things which you believe you cannot do. It's a simple rule, isn't it? Well, let's get the most basic thing about this universe. If you can't make a universe the same as this universe, if you couldn't copy this universe with the same density and mass, you would then to some slight degree be the effect of this universe, wouldn't you? All right, this is an exteriorized process. And what you do is you just have the fellow practice while exteriorized until he can copy things and copy them and copy them and copy them. You have him copy them many times. Make perfect duplicates of things? No. Well, this is another step entirely. You don't have him unmock the moon. You have him copy moons. Copy the moon and copy the moon until he's perfectly satisfied. Finally, you know, I could make a moon if I wanted to. Have him push the copies together and put them in his pocket or throw them away or put them in yesterday or do anything you want him to do with them. All right. Then this step consists of exteriorizing somebody and chasing him all over the universe, having him copy everything he can lay his eyes on. Now, of course, we had him doing that, didn't we? In R1-5, which is, say, he said, be 3 feet back of your head, the fellow says. All right. You see what you're looking at? Well, no, I see all this blackness. You say copy it. If he'd said elephants, you'd have said copy it. If he'd said tigers, you'd have said copy it. If he'd said nothing, you'd said copy it. Follow me? Your immediate reply to whatever he said was copy it. This is, of course, an extension of R15. To let a person out of the universe 100%. And you would just simply ask him to copy everything he laid his eyes on. But this time, you would send him all over the place. Instead of permissively having him copy everything he set his eyes on, R115 varies. It varies like this. You would send him someplace, and you would select something for him to copy. You'd say, all right, now let's go over the Sahara Desert. What you see? You see, I see the Sahara Desert, I guess, and so forth. You say, well, go find a camel. Okay, copy him. Make another copy, make another copy, make another copy, make another copy, make another copy of the camel, and another copy of the camel. Now while you're copying, throw those all away. Now while you're copying this camel, make the copy of the desert around him. Copy the camel in the desert, 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 copy the camel in the desert. Now push all those things together and do whatever you want to do with them. Now copy the camel, and as far as you can see to all horizons, and I'll make a copy of everything you can see now. Everything you can see now, everything you see, in other words, gradient scale. Camel, a little more desert,
the whole desert that he can lay science on. Finally, you will have him backed off to a point where he'll be copying Earth. Have a copy of Earth. And finally, he'll get so good that he'll be copying Earth, and he suddenly remembers he's not putting people on there. He's not putting plants. There isn't any intricate detail in his copies, and he will repair this, and he will put more and more detail, and so on. You want to watch out, because you don't want two planets in this orbit. So you always have him push all the mock-ups together and have him put them in his pocket. Follow me? Now, you can start out with a grain of sand, and this is a picnic. You have him copy a grain of sand. And after he's copied this grain of sand a few times, he becomes aware of the fact that he's not making a perfect copy of the grain of sand. So he says, let's see now. It's actually got space in it. It's actually a cluster of electrons and protons. There's atoms. That's what it is. There's atoms in there. And they have electrons and protons. Let's see if I can copy this grain of sand. It becomes a complex pattern for him to copy it. So he'll copy it. Well, if he really stumbles, just have him copy an electron. Copy another electron. Copy it again, copy it again, copy it again. Now copy an electron and a proton. Electron and a proton. Copy it again. Electron and proton. Copy it again, copy it again, copy it again. All right. Now, copy an atom. Copy another atom. Copy it again, copy it again, copy it again, copy it again, copy it again. Copy two atoms. Copy them again. Copy them again. Copy a molecule. Copy it again. 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 You got that? Are yours whizzing around nicely? Well, they aren't. All right, let's copy that molecule again. Let's copy it again. Again, 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 again. All of a sudden, he gets real proud. Now, you don't want to demonstrate to a preclear while you're processing exteriorized a bunch of cants. Because every time you demonstrate a cant to him, you tell him he's going to be the effect of something. You see, that which he cannot do, he becomes the effect of. Following? So, we have him in a bad state of mind the moment when we have him unable to do something. So we say, all right, now you copy that electron. Well, you can't find one. We'll find one anyway. All right, now copy it. Now copy it again, copy it again. Actually, these copies are very blurry. They're very bad. They're not sufficiently dense. They're unclearly seen. You could just start pointing out to him this wise. Well, now make one that's exactly rotating at the same, oh, you're not doing that. Make one that's just exactly as dense. Oh, no, no, you can do better than that. Make another one that's exactly as dense. Oh, yes, I see what you were doing now. I don't think your mock-up there is very good of that original. Let's see if we can do it better. Actually, the totality of copying anything, the totality of copying anything is simply the idea that it has been copied. The idea that one is seeing what has been copied, that's the totality of it. Well, all this would simply consists then of exteriorizing somebody, you chase him around, have him copy everything. Only you select what he's going to copy. You don't tell him how well he's got to copy it, and his mask will get better and better, always remembering not to let him litter up his whole universe with old copies. Always have him do something with these copies. But he gets nervous after a while when he's completely surrounded by all these things. All right, your preclear is going to get as well as he can change his mind about being an effect and becoming a cause. He could be then a cause or effect at will. He could be a cause or effect at will if he was willing to be the effect of any cause. If he wants to be the effect of any cause, he has to be able to cause any effect. A man will always be afraid of being killed so long as he cannot kill. Ooh, this sounds barbaric and wild, doesn't it? Only if a man can kill, he won't. It's only when he's prevented utterly from justice that he begins to think in terms of slaughter. Therefore, the greatest murderer in a society would be an unjust system of jurisprudence. If men had recourse to clear justice in all their affairs, they themselves actually would not much concern themselves with murder. And when courts become slow, crooked, fixed, unreasonable, without justice, the incidence of murder in the society begins to rise markedly. And the incidence of insanity begins to rise markedly. As long as a man could kill, he won't. You know, he doesn't care to. No particular invitation. But when you make it forbidden, and then make it forbidden for him to have any justice, he'll go around trying to kill, believe me. It is the introduction of barriers and restrictions which make it necessary for a person to engage in antisocial activity. Actually, nobody is happier than a thing to engage in very social activity. You know, be very social. Be totally social. You know, communicate in all directions, talk to everybody, and so forth. He's social. If you want to make somebody antisocial, which is simply put them out of communication, all you'd have to do was convince them that they couldn't be the effect of a lot of things. If I were, for instance, to teach auditors that they could not and did not dare be the effect of insanity and must at all times act very sanely, see, we'd have everybody spinning in. Why? We asked the guy to walk into the lion's cage, you know, with some psychotic, or process a normal businessman, other psychotics, or something like this, and we tell the auditor he's always got to act sanely. We make it impossible then for him to go through any action which would even vaguely resemble psychosis. And we would have him getting restimulated every time he audited somebody who was wild. Now, an interesting concept, just as a demonstration concept, not as a therapy, is restraining insane motions. Just have a person mark himself up restraining insane motions. Have another person have mark up restraining insane motions. If you had an auditor on your staff, for instance, who couldn't bear to come near or process a psychotic, that's a very indicated process. Have him mark himself up restraining insane motions. Have him do it again, and do it again, and do it again, and do it again. Or send him down, while exteriorized, to the local spin bin and have him simply copy psychotics. Now, do we have another use for this Art 115 than simply making a person build a universe? Therefore, it becomes a very, very important process. You make the preclear copy many times until he can get it in good detail, all the time, either using the mock-ups he makes to remedy his own happiness or otherwise disposing of them. Anything he is afraid of being the effect of. Preclear is afraid of being an effect. This is the formula. Preclear is afraid of being an effect, make him copy the original. Many, many times. And he all of a sudden doesn't care whether he's the effect or not. Because he can do it. He does not have to be afraid of those things which he himself can actually create. And you make him dispose of all of them to show him that he can uncreate them. So we don't let them stick around. Let's make the other point there. So if you had an auditor on your staff that didn't dare process psychotics, or he became upset or restimulated or very tired auditing, have him go out and copy preclears, preferably in an insane asylum. Many, many times, copy each patient and inmate many times, and all of a sudden you've got somebody who says, psychosis, neurosis, who cares? He'll process them as wild as they come and as long as you want him to. The way to take a person from the E of cause, distance, effect over to the C is having copy it many times. You could have him do that in his physical body. A person who is terribly afraid of screaming can simply be sent out on the hill and made to scream. And he screams and he screams and he screams. So he says after a while, so I can scream. So what? He doesn't care about screaming anymore. And the screams of others doesn't worry him. Do you know that the only reason a child crying worries you is because you yourself are not permitted to cry? So you can either mock up children crying with full sonic, you know, I mean, put the full blast in there, or simply sit down in the middle of the floor and cry. And do it for a while, and after that, the noise of children will not bother you. You can only be troubled by a truck motor if you yourself are not permitted to roar or race truck motors. Roar like one or race like one. You follow me? How do you keep an auditor from being restimulated? How do you keep a preclear from being afraid of all of existence? And how do you keep somebody from being eternally trapped in this universe? It's given you simply in R1:15. Okay.